It's the Bob Edwards Show on Sirius XM Public Radio. I'm speaking with Verlin Thompson in one of our performance studios about his life and his latest solo CD, Works. He'll perform one more song for us later, but I wanted to know the story behind The Ballad of String Bean and Estelle.
Yeah, that's a sad story. You know, it's about the old Opry star and hee-haw star, String Bean, the old banjo picker, who was sadly and viciously murdered in his little cabin there right outside of Nashville, he and his wife.
On Ridgetop, Tennessee, in 1973, the Brown boys killed String Bean and Estelle. And the reason for it all was in the bib of his overalls. At least that's what the Brown boys would tell. It seemed like easy money, but things didn't go their way. It was just a simple plan to rob a banjo man, but he would not let go of his Opry pay.
That's one that Guy and I had, for years, we've always said, you know, the ingredients of this story, the murder of String Bean, is a classic old-time murder ballad. We had talked about writing this song, but we sort of shied away from it, I don't know, out of respect, really, because we didn't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. And one day Sam Bush was there down in Guy's workshop, and the three of us were there, and Sam was telling us a story. When his father passed away, he was cleaning out his father's things, and he found an old front page of the Nashville Banner newspaper that his father had saved, and it was the picture of the auctioneer holding up String Bean's overalls to auction them off. And Sam said, you know, I don't know exactly what that meant to my dad, but it must have meant something special. He saved that picture. And when he told us that story, Guy and I looked at each other and said, this may be the time. And so the three of us immediately started gathering the facts, because we knew it had to be absolutely factual, and it is. So we wrote it on the spot.
Now, when he didn't see no smoke from the chimney, Grandpa knew that something was not right. And now it's burned evermore in his memory, the picture of that dreadful, awful sight. But then 23 years later, they tore the old fireplace down, and there was $20,000 that the Brown boys never found. Yeah, it seemed like easy money, but things didn't go their way. It was just a simple plan to rob a banjo man, but he would not let go of his Opry pay. No, he would not let go of his Opry pay. Now I ask you, is anything sacred? I do believe that I have heard it all. I read it in this morning's paper. They auctioned off old String's overalls.
Where would country music be without you? You've been covered now by Randy Travis, Kenny Rogers, Barbara Mandrell, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Jimmy Buffett, Alan Jackson.
Oh, they'd be fine without me, but I'm glad those people chose to do my songs. You know, when I first moved to Nashville in 1981, I was going for that writing for the artists that were popular at the time. And as the years went on, I've slowly started writing really more for myself, songs that I can go out and feel good about performing and presenting. And luckily, along the way, a lot of those songs appealed to the other people, too. So it's worked for me in both respects. I've been really, really lucky, and it's better than I could have ever dreamed of.
Who were you covering when you were just starting out?
Oh, you know, I was raised out there in a part of Oklahoma where I didn't have a whole lot of, aside from the songs that I heard my mom and her family sing, which were, you know, the Carter Family and Webb Pierce songs and, of course, Johnny Cash stuff. About the only stuff that I could hear on the radio was kind of our local popular guys around there who were Roger Miller, who was from about 40, 50 miles away from where I was. And he had already, you know, been in Nashville, and he was already a superstar. And Merle Haggard and Buck Owens and people like that. And it wasn't till I actually went away in the service that I started hearing other kinds of music. I remember one of my service buddies, I remember the day he played me a Jackson Browne record. I'd never heard of Jackson Browne, didn't know the man existed. And there was something about his, I don't know, I could just, it just touched me and it moved me. And
lyrics, imagery?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, all of it. And his presentation, it was a sparse, sort of a lonely sound, and I don't know, it was a sound I wasn't aware of, and I thought, man, that's what I need to do. That's what I'm looking for, is a way to set my words to music that fits the feeling that, you know, it's...
A man from Southern California can reach
a
peanut farmer from Oklahoma?
There you go. That's the magic of it all, isn't it? That's it. I just wanted to be able to work that kind of magic.
My guest is singer-songwriter, guitar player Verlin Thompson, and our conversation, like his career, kept coming back to Guy Clark. Clark recently celebrated his 70th birthday with a CD release party for a tribute album titled This One's for Him. Thompson says he still recalls seeing Clark for the first time.
We were both signed to CBS Songs at the time as songwriters, and I was newly signed to the company. You know, I'd heard people talk about Guy, and I knew a little about his work, but not a whole lot. I remember somebody pointed out the window and said, well, there comes Guy. And I looked out there, and he pulled into the parking lot in an old, rusty Jeep International wagon, yellow and white, I believe it was. And the whole side of it was rusted out. And he threw the door open, and those big old long legs come falling out the door. And it was shortly after that when he asked me to come down in the studio and work on his Old Friends album that he was working on. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the relationship started.
Now there's the tribute CD, 30 tracks by 33 artists, Vince Gill, Rodney Crowell, Emmylou Harris, John Prine, Steve Earle, just goes on and on. What was your contribution?
Actually, I have a track on there. I did one of Guy's songs called All Through Throwing Good Love After Bad, and then I was a band member. I played on every track on the record except for the solo. There's two or three that are just guitar vocal things, but... Yeah, so I was involved with every track on there, and it was unbelievable. And we just finished a big celebration for Guy's birthday and a release party for this record. And 20-some of those artists on that record showed up and performed at the concert.
What do you want to wind up with?
Oh, shoot. You know, why don't I end up with a Guy song?
Okay.
If I can remember it, I'll do this one that I did on the on the record. I ch- chose this song on purpose because it's one of Guy's less... it gets less attention than some of the other ones, and I still thought it was a beautiful song, and I just chose to give it a little exposure. Oh, a time there was, I was feeling so hopeless. It's a wonder I didn't cave in. I kept throwing love at all the wrong people, never to see it again. But oh Lord, won't you look what I found, staring me right in the face. I'm through being lonely, I'm through being sad, and I'm all through throwing good love after bad. I've wasted, wearing my heart on my sleeve, entrusting my love to the kindness of strangers. Oh, I was so naive. But oh Lord, won't you look what I found, staring me right in the face. I'm through being lonely, I'm through being sad, and I'm all through throwing good love after bad. I said, oh Lord, won't you look what I found, staring me right in the face. I'm through being lonely, I'm through being sad, and I'm all through throwing good love after bad.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Verlin Thompson's latest solo CD is titled Works, and that was his performance of the Guy Clark song All Through Throwing Good Love After Bad. After the break, you'll hear a few more songs from that Guy Clark tribute CD.